You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour 3 gets us closer. Joining intern until tomorrow. Report day of here in New Orleans Saints. We'll go over, again, the question I've tossed out there. Is there really even a handful? Can you count on one hand the question marks the team has going into the start of training camp? We'll go over that. Plus, the ESPN insiders have decided to compile a list of top tier, middle tier, and lower tier quarterbacks in the NFL. Don't worry, Drew Brees is tier one. He's in the top. But as part of the column, they used quotes from some of the insiders to describe the quarterbacks. We figured we'd have a little bit fun. The article and column has it sort of like a flash court style, right? Flash card where you see the quote and then you click a button. Voila! There is a picture of the quarterback. I was testing you folks out there to see if you actually know. At ESPN Radio NOLA and our ESPN New Orleans Facebook page has the questions one at a time. I told Jordan to go ahead and let's do the four NFC South quarterbacks first. So, Jordan, I haven't seen this, right? I mean, it's to my right. I haven't peeked over to your computer.
I don't know how.
I haven't. So, go ahead and give us a quote from a quarterback, and let's see if we can guess what quarterback this NFL insider is talking about.
All right, with the first quote.
Okay.
He was a hard one for me. I put him as one initially, but I changed him to two because of the playoff stuff.
So, again, it's three tiers of quarterbacks, right? One, two, and three?
Yeah, I think there was a fourth tier.
There was
tier,
a fourth one?
I didn't see any.
So this quote, this insider saying he was a tier one QB, but issues in the playoffs, I guess, is why.
Yeah.
He's a two. Well, it's not Winston. Okay? No postseason.
Shall we get ready for the ding or the wrong?
Let's see. I mean, Cam Newton took the Panthers to the Super Bowl and was an MVP. Noodle Arm took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. I don't know if he can lay the blame on him that they lost the Super Bowl. And Drew Brees has done pretty well in the playoffs. Man, the only thing I guess I can look at is maybe, and I'm going because Todd says when he listens to Atlanta radio, that people either love Matt Ryan when he's having a good year or there's no belief in Noodle Arm. I'm going to go with Noodle Arm on this.
That is correct.
Noodle Arm.
Yeah.
Wow. Because of the playoff stuff.
Crazy.
Coming up short, I guess.
Yeah.
The Falcons have had some seasons where they haven't, you know, they were either a top seed and didn't move on either to the Super Bowl, right? Lost to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. Look, it's something that I love to make fun of. And I think every Saints fan, can you imagine, though, honestly, like for him, what that must be like, up 25. No, I mean, you're thinking about it, right? I mean, you're the interviews, you're going on all the talk shows, there's Fallon, Ellen. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're going to Disney World. I mean, you're probably daydreaming in the fourth quarter. I mean, you're going to be a Super Bowl champ. You're going to wear a ring, you know, Matty Ice, champion. I mean, you're thinking about it, aren't you?
Poor Drew Brees doesn't even have an MVP. What are you talking about? He's
taken,
probably thinking about that every night.
Let me tell you something. Drew Brees, much rather the MVP he does have, Super Bowl MVP. I promise you. He's much happier with that. All right, next quote. So, okay, Matt Ryan's done.
Yep.
So it needs to either be about Winston, Brees, or Cam Newton. Next quote.
All right, I know he's a little unorthodox, and everyone wants him to be a better passer.
That's Cam Newton.
But he can carry his team
That's got to be Cam Newton.
Week.
He's the only
unorthodox.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I'm
he
sorry.
Is for sure a difference maker and has been that way since college.
Yeah, that's definitely yep. Cam Newton. That's
You're
not
correct
even
with that
there
one.
There it is, yeah. It is crazy because everything a lot about him screams this guy can't play that position, right? Until you actually see him. Here's the one thing that really stood out to me the first time I saw him up close. He's a monster. I mean, Cam Newton, you hear players say he's big. And you see it on TV, like when a DB tries to tackle him or Cam Jordan tries to wrap. But Cam Jordan's not small, right? And he has to wrap himself, around Cam Newton. But if you ever get a chance for, I'm talking about the fans that get like the field passes, right? You know somebody who knows somebody that hooks you up to go. Watch them warm up before a game. If you've ever, or even sat low enough to actually get a view of Cam Newton when he runs towards out of bounds, for those folks that sit in that lower section, he's big. I mean, he is a monster, man. And it's funny because I want to say we talked about this during the two games that you played, and we're like, dude, you're going to have to face him again in the postseason. What did we say going into the playoff game, Jordan? Do you remember? Probably not because you were in school. But
yeah.
I said, it's good Cam or bad Cam. If good Cam shows up, you're in for a fight. You're in for a fight. It's hard to explain, but when good Cam shows up, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He could have bodies draped on him. He flicks the wrist. It's a 60-yard pass. You know? He extend plays. It's third and 25. Somehow he'll run for 26 for a first down. I mean, just good Cam shows up. You can tell and sense it in the first quarter. And you can also tell in the first quarter, bad Cam's here today. I mean, you can.
He's the JR of the NFL.
Ooh, he's better than JR Smith. No, he's better than that.
Well, JR is the he's most better.
I would say, I'm
NFL.
Trying to think of a, using NBA analogies, who would be the NBA player that you would compare to Cam Jordan? I mean, Cam Newton to?
JR. He's the most.
No,
he's spotty.
Stop it.
Not
no.
In the sense that he's
no.
bad. I'm
no.
saying
Cam
in the
Newton,
sense he's
when
most
Cam
spotty.
Newton is good,
yeah, he's a
much
spotty
better
player.
Than JR Smith is when he's at his best. J.R. Smith at his best is still a role player. I wouldn't call him a star.
He's J.R.
No, he's not J.R.
I'm not saying J.R. I'm not saying that Cam Newton's bad. I'm just saying he's J.R. He has J.R.
No,
spottiness.
No, no. There's no, no, no. I'll toss that out there. 800-998-1003. Who is the NBA player that you would compare
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton to? Let's do it all four. Who's Matt Ryan in the NBA? Who's a player that wins, but just maybe sometimes comes up short? Is it Dirk? I don't know why Dirk Nowitzki just popped in my head.
No, it's not Dirk. Do not do Dirk wrong like that.
You think I'm doing him wrong?
Yes.
Why? He's good.
Dirk's got a ring.
Josh wants to chime in. 800-998-1003. Josh, what you got?
Cam Newton is the Joel Embiid.
There he is, Joel Embiid.
A lot of hype coming out, always injured. Everybody's talking about how good he's going to be, but he's not going to really be that good. Yeah, that's what he is. And Matt Ryan is he's the Kyle Lowry of the NBA, of the NFL.
Mm.
Wins in the regular season, but he can't perform in the playoffs.
Can't perform in the playoffs. I like that. What about Drew Brees?
Drew Brees? I would say he's the Dirk because he's an all-time great, been with the team for a long time. He's got that ring, but he deserves a lot more. So,
Steve Nash popped in my head.
No, Steve Nash doesn't have a ring. I did think that too. But
so okay, so you got to compare ring okay, yeah. to a pot. Okay, so one-time champ in the NBA. Okay. And what about – I see James – no, I wouldn't say J.R. is Jameis. Jameis Winston in the NBA is, Josh?
Jameis Winston in the NBA – is who's good and messes up?
Swaggy P.
Swaggy P.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny you say that. Swaggy P. I mean, Swaggy P will hit a shot and you're like, come on. That guy hit it and then he's, you know, he's doing the, he's dancing and he's, you know.
Yeah, Jameis is an idiot, but great show today, guys. And Jordan, you've definitely been killing it the last month or so. So y'all have a good one, man.
Thank you. Appreciate
Josh.
That.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh.
Is he your friend?
No.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
I do too. It was just an honest question. You don't have to get defensive.
No, I wasn't getting defensive.
He didn't say he sounded older than what one of your friends would be. I mean, you're like 19, aren't you?
Yeah.
He didn't sound 19. That's what I'm saying.
Look at that. You see that? I'm getting a little following going
okay,
on.
Okay, see, no. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. It's bad enough you spent most of Sunday's media event for the Sun Belt Conference that they put on wearing sunglasses.
I didn't, though. Y'all were making that up.
No, we have photographic evidence.
Let me see the photos.
You don't want to see the photos.
Stop making stuff up, making me look like a bad guy.
I didn't make you look like the bad guy. At least you didn't go J.R. Smith.
We were talking to the gator for 30 minutes.
At least you had a lot of interest in the guy with the alligator.
You were so interested. I was telling you facts about it. I was trying to give you information because you were like, wow, this is so cool.
I mean, yeah, you're basically the croc hunter of the North Shore. I had no idea. You knew so much about the alligator behavior. That you're like, if you just stomp at him and just kind of run towards him, he'll run away. They're really timid. Like you and the gator wrangler, I mean, y'all were like best. You could have worked at, what is it, Instigator, whatever it's called?
Hey, talking about the North Shore.
The North Shore. Ken wants to represent. Ken, what you got? I like this. Give me some NBA guys that are in the NFL, these quarterbacks for the NFC South. What you got, Ken? Oh, what happened to Ken? He was right there.
Ken got a little. He got starstruck by me.
He's got scared.
He got starstruck.
All right, give me another quote. Another quote.
All right,
I do like that. Cam Newton, Kyle Lowry, no, Joel Embiid is what he said.
Yeah,
he was right.
And then Jameis would be.
So you think Breeze is Dirk, huh?
No, he said Breeze is Dirk. I don't know if I'd put him.
I think
third.
Nash.
No, he didn't.
Even though
ring.
He didn't win
no,
a ring, I know he didn't win a ring,
too.
But my point is, I think he was really, really good, and he had a period where I think he was the best point guard in the NBA, yet I still think even to this day, people mention great point guards, and they kind of almost forget a little bit about Steve Nash. Steve Nash was ridiculous. I mean, Steve Nash was good. But you say that you need somebody that's had a ring. Okay, so you want to compare him to somebody in the NBA that's won one championship.
At least one championship.
Okay. All right.
And then, all right. So,
the Joel Embiid comparison's pretty good with Cam Newton. Because, again, I think they're both physical phenoms. I mean, they do have a lot of, you know, talent. There it is. Ken wants to chime in. What you got, Ken?
A man amongst boys, the moodiness. Cam Newton is Boogie Cousins.
Oh, Boogie.
Boogie with a hoodie. You know that's a rapper.
Boogie. That's a good one, Ken. That's a good one. Boogie. Did you see on Twitter yesterday he was pimping crawfish boils, jambalaya?
I'll miss about Nola.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite, though, is at least he admitted what he was doing. At the very end, he hashtags Zatarans, hashtag ad. Look, like I said, I don't know, Alvin, if you're listening, and you're probably relaxing before camp starts tomorrow. If you need a marketing, I'm sure he probably has a professional marketing agent, but I can think of 50 things or places that Alvin Kamara's face should be on when you walk into. I mean, seriously, including anything local in New Orleans. Safe bet, 41 would be a good over Boogie.
I think so, too.
Ken, who in the NBA is Matt Ryan?
Oh, Matt Ryan. Close but no cigar. Let me think. Who
Chris
is
Paul.
Matt Ryan?
Oh, Chris Paul.
Oh, that's a good one, Jordan. Chris Paul.
Dude, Chris Paul got Chris a lot Paul. Of beef this year. Yeah, he's not that guy. Can't take him. You know what? You're right. Chris Paul, lots of numbers. Lots of people can say, is he a Hall of Famer or not? And I bet you with Matt Ryan, that's going to be a... Yeah, but here's the thing. Chris Paul didn't win an MVP. Matt Ryan did.
Yeah.
No. Wait.
Chris Paul did not win an MVP.
Oh, yeah,
came
Kobe's,
in second.
Yeah,
came
Kobe.
In second to Kobe. But Chris Paul is actually a really good... It is a good one because some people say he's a Hall of Fame point guard. And then people in the national media, man, around the horns panel went nuts on that. Is he a Hall of Fame? He's like, no, he's not. He's never won anything. He's never gotten to the conference championship game. So I would say it's a good comparison in that people say, yeah, but he's never taken it to that next level. What about Breeze? What about Breeze? I'd say Steve Nash. Jordan went with did you agree with Scott with Dirk Nowitzki?
No.
Or Ken?
I'm still thinking.
I think Jordan had a good one with Dirk Nowitzki. Consummate professional. Got that one championship.
Yeah.
I do think he's a little bit better than Dirk, but I think Dirk is a good one for now. And I think Jameis Winston.
Here we go.
I think Jameis Winston. Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Ooh.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, thank you, Ken. I would say Dennis Rodman in like the whole character sort of thing, but Dennis Rodman, you could depend on Dennis. Does that make sense? Even though probably some people listening going, could you? Jordan got him in line, and even with the Pistons, you could depend on Dennis. Dennis was going to get you aboard. Dennis's job was to get in somebody else's head. I think Jameis doesn't know what's in his head. I like this. This is good. 800-998-1003 or a tweet us at ESPN Radio Nova. So Dirk and Steve Nash right now is Drew Brees in the NBA. So one championship. I like that. One championship. Chris Paul was good for Matt Ryan. That was a good one, Jordan.
I know, I'm awesome.
Okay, you know what? That's it. Quick break. We come back. There's two more quotes
to go?
We
have two more quotes
for the
NFC.
Two more quotes to go, which would be either Drew Brees or Jameis Winston. Because we've already said the two quotes that pertain to Cam Jordan and Noodle.
No, Cam Newton.
That's what I said.
You said Cam Jordan.
No, I didn't.
Were they really going at it on Twitter?
Oh, they had a Twitter war. Yes.
I need to see some screen. Brian, if you're listening, please send me those screenshots. I would love to read those.
David on Twitter says, at GCAT_17, I know it's NFL to the NBA, but I believe Cam Newton to Jay Cutler is on point. I like that.
Actually, Jay Cutler would probably be Baker Mayfield?
No, not Baker.
I'm sorry. What's his name? I forgot. Never mind. Just go. Just keep going talking.
Why did Blake Griffin just pop in my head with Cutler?
I don't know who Blake Griffin would be, honestly.
See, Cutler has a unique set of skills in that he actually can play when he wants to, but his whole body language and demeanor, where you just, I mean, it's almost bust, right? Even though he lasted in the league for a while. You just kind of look at it like the guy's demeanor is unbelievable. That's a good one, though. At ESPN Radio, no lower at GCAT_17 if you're having a little bit of fun.
Who is that quarterback?
Okay, give me some more quotes. This is from the ESPN.com article, in which they surveyed, and it broke down all the quarterbacks in the NFL to Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4. And they're using a quote that was given by one of the, 50 ESPN insiders?
Yep.
So we've already come up with Cam Newton and Matt Ryan. What's the next one?
All right, the next quote. He doesn't throw guys open. That works at college. When your receivers are better than your DBs, you are playing against. But if you are a second late in the NFL, you are screwed.
Well, I mean, that's clearly not Drew Brees. That is Jameis Winston.
Ding.
I mean, Drew Brees throws people open, anticipates the space and the spots that receivers are going into, and he's very rarely ever late. Right?
Right.
So Jameis Winston. All right, so that just remains and leaves out Drew Brees. What is the quote attributed by an ESPN insider?
I love how Drew Brees is the shortest one.
The shortest one?
They don't even really talk about
him.
What is it? I thought he was done 3 years ago. Give the coach credit. They are running out the ball.
Wow, that's the quote.
Wow.
I don't know if that's much of a compliment, though.
Nope. They gave credit to the coach and the running backs.
Although they're insinuating that the only reason he's still around is because they have a running game.
Yep.
Okay. See, this is where I feel like I got to go off on a little bit here.
Keep going, because I got to tweet out some more things, so you can talk for a little bit.
Here's the thing. Well, thank you, Jordan, since it is my talk show. I appreciate that. here's the thing. So a lot of the times, I think so far in the last couple of months in the offseason, going into free agency and the draft, Channel 6 on Sunday, the hot seat. You know, who's replacing the Mark Ingram role? Folks, the Saints have really only been the quote-unquote a running team last year. I mean, last year is really the only time I can think of where a team, the Panthers, said,
beat us with the pass.
Right? Now, the Saints have had a complimentary run game at certain points in the Peyton era. I would say in 2009 when they won the Super Bowl, you know, you did have the complimentary run game, but it was a complimentary piece. No one ever said this was a running first football team ever, to my knowledge, up until last year, right? Now, we did say, and boy, was this a point of contention with me in the graph for years. I'm like, we need to run the football more. We need to run the football more. And he'd be like, hey, idiot, not as long as number nine's the quarterback. You don't need to. And I'm like, well, you need a compliment. He's like, yes, that's fine. And they were the stats and are the stats in which when the Saints do run over 100 yards combined as a team, they normally win. Like, it's a ridiculous stat. It's like 80, 90% of the times, 100 yards or more, it's a Saints W. But it was a complimentary piece. And what I've been trying to say out there to anybody that will listen, I get it. It's easy to go, Ingram's out, 4 games. Who replaces Ingram? Nobody. I don't honestly think Sean Payton goes, all right, give me this notebook here. Actually, it's not even a notebook. Right? The white eraser board. Little squeaking of the marker on it. Mark Ingram replacements, who we got? Because you don't replace his role, because I don't think that role is going to be the same this year. Last year, Willie Snead didn't start the season, right? Was hurt. The tight end didn't know where he was going still. I mean, he still didn't get anything out of him. Concussions, the work, not his fault, but whatever. And look, Ted Ginn was fine, but he was a, man, 3 to 5 target receiver. And then you had Michael Thomas. That was it. And for 3 straight seasons, which went 7-9, your defense was, well, bad. You hoped that the draft picks you got last year, 3 starters in Marcus Williams, Lattimore, and Anzalone, for crying out loud, would help you. So you didn't really know. I mean, we went into last year, if you listened to the show, you need to run the football more. A, it's going to help keep the game closer, and it'll help your defense, because you cannot keep going 3 and out, or if you do go 3 and out and you have a defense that basically your defensive philosophy is hold them to 3. Right? I mean, Saints fans applauded in the dome and thought it was a win if you held them to 3. If you got a punt, Jordan, I'm spilling beer on you because I'm high-fiving like a maniac. We got a punt. No one knew the defense was going to be that good last year. But that's why I think last year, yes, they went into the season and we said it. It needs to be a focus going into it this year. That's why they went, and what did Sean Payton do? Went out and got running backs. Okay, it didn't work out, but that's why he went and got Adrian Peterson. That's why he drafted an Alvin Kamara. I mean, there was absolutely a focus to bring a backfield to this team. They needed to help. And again, you looked at that receiving core, who scared you? If I take away Michael Thomas, nobody else really honestly did. That's not this team this year. It's not this team this year. Sean Payton went out and got 3 new pass catchers. He didn't go out and go get a better blocking tight end. He went and got a better receiving tight end. And Ben Watson, who alone with the Ravens last year, had more production than all of the Saints tight ends combined in the passing game. He went out and drafted Tre'Quan Smith. Receiver. He went out and signed Cameron Meredith, young receiver. Do you honestly think Sean Payton's going to sit back and give 2 backs, I don't know, 15 carries apiece? Not. Alvin Kamara is exactly the back he's always wanted. Can do both. When I need to keep a defense honest that we'll actually run the football, I'll give it to him. But I really like his pass-catching ability. So what I've been saying this offseason is the battle of the rest of the backs is to spell Alvin Kamara when he needs a breather. The battle for the rest of the backs in training camp is to find out who's going to be playing the preseason games bulk, the bulks of the load. Because it won't be Kamara if he sees any action. You know me, I don't need to see him at all. I'll see him September. I don't see or agree with the someone needs to find and replace Mark Ingram. No, they don't. Everybody I just mentioned on the offensive side, give him 2 to 3 more targets and carries. Alvin Kamara, I'm not really worried too much about the workload because he's only going to get about 5 to 6 more touches workload-wise. And I think he's elusive and talented and good enough that he's not going to take a pounding or a beating. Plus, as I said, that's what the other guys are for. I have a hard time believing the additions of Meredith, Smith, and Watson with a budding superstar in Alvin Kamara, Sean Payton sitting in his office going, oh boy, all right, let me see this. Terrence West over here and Shane Vereen, Boston Scott, Trey Edmonds. Which one of those guys is going to give me 15 carries? No, he's not. He's not. Now, you bring in a West and a Vereen to have that veteran presence if Alvin is not in the game, right? You look at the Atlanta game last year in Atlanta, goes out early with a concussion. Yes, then I need somebody. But that's what those backs are for, man. I just, because I've heard a lot of people say, who fills the Ingram? Nobody does. They don't need to. This is not going to be a run-happy team. That's my opinion. Do they still use the run game? Absolutely. Sure they can, and they should, absolutely. But what I'm saying is last year, you looked at this team, and they were absolutely a backfield-led first team. Look at the moves this year. Look at how strong that O-line is. I have a hard time believing. Now, I think it will be one where Sean Payton gets a lead, can run the clock out, can shorten the game. But, dude, Drew Brees has got new weapons this year. That's why that quote's silly to me. You're essentially saying Drew Brees is just around because they're running. Last year was the first year they did that. Last year was the first year they said, or you could say, or a Saints fan could say, or an analyst could say, the Saints are going into this game trying to establish the run. That was never the Saints. That a complimentary run game. Take a quick break. We come back. Al, we'll go to you out of the break. If you want to chime in, 800-998-1003. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
They stock a large selection of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches, hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, super winches, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. They have a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire. They stock nylon, plastic, and knotless webbing. You've heard about the new webbing, Platina and knotless Dyneema. Alario Brothers has some of that too. And they stock 4 different sizes of galvanized stabilizers. They also stock a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin, gel coat, and supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alario Brothers stocks anchors from 5 to 100 pounds. Come visit Alario Brothers before the season starts. That's Alario Brothers at 894 Avenue A, West Wego, 504-341-1843, and visit their website at alariobrothers.com.
The Sports Hangover is on the road. Join us as we broadcast live Wednesday, July 25th, 12 to 3 from Barker Mitsubishi, 190 West Tunnel Boulevard in Houma. It's the Sports Hangover live, 12 to 3 from Barker Mitsubishi in Houma, July 25th on ESPN New Orleans.
During some of the most difficult times in your life, choose Falgu Funeral Homes. At Falgu Funeral Homes, our funeral directors have cared for families in the Lafourche and Terrebonne area since 1912. We are proud to be one of the few independently owned funeral homes. We focus on your needs and earning the confidence of your family for generations to come. Falgu Funeral Homes, caring you can count on, with locations in Raceland, Lockport, Cutoff, and Houma.
At the Jambalaya Shop in Houma, we treat our customers like family. You can dine and carry out our homemade jambalaya gumbo, pastalaya, and more. Need catering for an event? Look no further than the Jambalaya Shop. Whether you need to feed 5 or 500, let the Jambalaya Shop do the cooking for you. Events like tailgate parties, school events, office parties, even the ballpark. Call the Jambalaya Shop today at 985-851-7725. Located at 1795 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma, next to Ultimate Party. The Jambalaya Shop, where the secret's in the pot. The 2018 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on all the action and details for all the races Fridays right here on ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, your locally owned Napa Auto Parts stores in LaFourche, Assumption, and St. Mary Parishes. Napa Auto Parts, sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Cup Series. Get the expert analysis and latest news on Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series throughout the 2018 season every Friday on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Don't forget tomorrow, Barker Mitsubishi. Little jambalaya from the Jambalaya Shop. Coach Tim Rebo. The Nichols Colonels will be joining us at 12:15 tomorrow as well. Al, thanks for holding on through the break there, as you're on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hi, my man. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
I would like to say that Cam Newton is a hard-headed player to gauge, but I had it right on the tip of my tongue of who he is. But I'm going to scratch that. But do you believe that Alvin Kamara can get 2,000 all-purpose yards?
Whew. All right, so Alvin last year, right, him and Mark Ingram, 1,500 plus. Let me see what he had at the end of the day. Because, again, that's what I'm getting at, right? He's going to have four games. He's going to have the opportunity to get a few more touches that maybe would have gone either to Ingram or someone else.
Correct.
So when you look at it, Kamara, what do you add up? Do the math here, Jordan. 782 rushing. And 826 receiving. It's somewhere around, it's less than 500, isn't it? The all-purpose?
1508?
Yeah.
Okay. 1608, yeah.
Yeah, so.
1608.
I think he had, I could see in four games, again, he would have to do what he did last year and average, 6 yards? A touch, essentially. But again, it's something I think he could do, because here are the advantages he's going to have, Al. So this is how I'm going to answer it. I think he can make a run for it, right? And I think the reason is this. I think the field is going to be a little more open than it was last year because of the addition of the other pass catchers you have. You might have a legit number two receiver. You got a tight end you have to worry about. And I think Michael Thomas is upping his game here as well. So if I'm a defense, what am I taking away? If I stack the box or try to play more than seven in between the tackles there, I'm putting my receivers one-on-one. If I start connecting with Drew Brees on those receivers where I think they're going to be going, I'm going to have to drop a little bit more back in coverage. That opens up, I think, some holes. And remember, I don't have to hand it off to 41. I can get it to him in a number of ways. Put him in motion, put him in a slot, dump it out the backfield, whether it's screens, whether it's, you know, quick outs. I mean, I just got to get him the ball. And once he touches it, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's going to get 3-4 yards before he gets touched. Give me 2 yards after contact. There's my 6, you know, per touch. So I think he has that opportunity to do so. I could see him having a game or two where he gets and rips off a, you know, 40 to 60 yard play that either is for a score or just a big pass play or a run play. I think he can make the run simply because, again, I think those first four games, he's going to have the opportunity to get the touches. That'd be incredible, though, to get 2,000. I could see maybe he can get close to that.
All right. What did you think about Drew Brees and Dr. J? Are they the same?
Ooh, Dr. J and Drew Brees. I will say this. The only reason I say maybe not, Al, is because Jay had the flair, right? And, when I'm thinking of Drew Brees is almost Tim Duncan-like, the big fundamental. I'm not comparing championships and stuff, but Tim Duncan never was probably very pretty in looking at it, but the guy could bank off the glass at any angle. He would hit jumpers. He would pass. He would rebound. He could make free throws. You know what? I'm going with Tim Duncan because to me, that's Drew Brees. When you look at Brees, is he very flat? You know, like you look at Cam, whether it's Newton or even Rodgers, I mean, they kind of look the part, right? The size, they flick the wrist, the ball's a bullet, you know, whether it's, you know, elusiveness in running with the football that can do that. Tim Duncan is almost looking, doesn't he almost look like he doesn't have the athletic ability a lot of times, but he's just a fundamental?
Yeah.
I would kind of, because Dr. J. Al, I mean, he was Jordan before Jordan, wasn't he? He was the finger roll.
Correct,
The dunk, the leg spread, you know, going up and under the rim. So I just, to me, Brees isn't that athlete, and he's not very flary. You know what I mean? Okay, again, I keep going to Newton, but first down, he's doing the Superman or something like that. So just because of that lack of flair, I would say no. But I hear what you're saying, though, and a guy that, you know, is creative and things of that nature. I just, to me, Brees is more of a fundamental, every play looks like this, every practice he's doing the same things that he would do in a game. So now that I keep saying it, yeah, big fundamental. I'm going Tim Duncan would be my pick.
All right, thanks, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure, man. Al, thank you for the phone call.
Talking about it,
do you not think Tim Duncan, the more I look at it, yeah. Again, it's hard to compare who's an MVP, who wins wings and rings and things of that nature, but that's Duncan. Like, when you look at him, you get what I'm getting at? I mean, he's not the guy that you would think is running up and down the court and all that, but he is. He's just the fundamentally sound, always accurate, sort of the guy that you can depend on, things like that. That would be Brees to me. Tim, what you got for us on the Sports Angle?
I'm going old school here.
Okay.
Drew Brees and Jerry West.
Perfect. I like that. The logo, right? I mean, it's funny you say that, Tim, because Brian Enola East likes to call him Captain America. If there is somebody that you would say, like, you would put on the shield or something of that nature that never is going to misstep, never is going to, you know, and is likable and, you know, is his family first and all that. Not that Brady isn't either, but I think too many people hate Brady. I don't think you could put him as the logo. But that'd be a good question. Who would you put as the logo on the NFL shield? I like that, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry West did everything fundamentally correct. He was an MVP. He, you know, got to a couple of championship games. So I just think pretty good comparison.
I like that, man. Thank you, Tim, for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. That's solid, Jordan the intern. Because Jerry West, too, right, wasn't like a physically imposing. You got another one you said on Twitter?
No, I was just saying. Oh, you, I always said Pete Maravich.
I think more flair. I think the pistol was flair. Showman. I wouldn't put flair, showman, flashy in the same sense with Drew. Would you? Nah. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that there's other quarterbacks, you know, just kind of have that look. Like Favre. Brett Favre is, ooh, that'd be a good comparison to Steve Nash, wouldn't it? Just unorthodox, just finds a way, just does something. By the way, Brian Enola East says, dude, stop it. Steve Nash, two-time MVP. Brees is nothing like Nash, he says. Dude beat out Kobe for MVP twice. He likens him more to Steph Curry. Both deadly accurate, small frames, faces of the franchise, but tenacious. It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I like that one. I think there's one that I just know there's one perfect for Drew Brees. I can't think of it right now.
I think Tim Duncan, dude. When I think of Tim Duncan,
Not Tim Duncan.
Okay, let me see. I knew this was coming. How many games did you actually watch Tim Duncan? I keep forgetting. You were probably like six.
I've seen Tim Duncan play. Okay, don't give me that.
Hold on. You probably saw Tim Duncan play at the end of his career when he was like six.
I watched him 06 because I watched Steve Nash, and that's when I really got into NBA. So
okay,
06.
So you saw good Tim Duncan. You saw NBA championship Tim Duncan.
Well, NBA championship Tim Duncan also beat,
I mean, the Spurs are pretty, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't think Tim Duncan reminds you of Drew Brees or vice versa?
No.
Dude, the more I think about it, I think it's a perfect fit. Now, again, not size, though. See, that's the problem, so I guess I can't say perfect. Duncan obviously was a 7 foot. I mean, he's... But I guess what I'm saying is I never felt Tim Duncan used his size as to why he was good. Like, I remember, I think of him being just as good a shooter and anything. You know what I'm getting at? Like, there's some players that use their size to their ability. Like, Cam Newton wouldn't be as big and physically imposing in speed. His accuracy would hurt him. Ben wants to chime in. 800-998-1003 on ESPN New Orleans is the Sports Hangover. What you got?
If you compare to Drew Brees to anybody, you think of the long pass and the accuracy with the long pass to Drew Brees. Ray Allen.
See, I thought about him early, but he was like a specialist, right? I mean, what I'm saying is he's thought of as the three-point guy. Now, maybe it's because he became that towards the end of his career. And really is that guy, right? Just the deadly accurate from downtown. So I guess that's what you're saying, Ben. If there's a three to be taken, give it to him. But here's what I would ask you, Ben. Is Drew Brees known for the deep ball, though?
So far as the accuracy with the deep ball, I think he is. I mean, you know, you had Barr who got half his touchdowns just from, you know, broken down plays. Drew Brees, you know, didn't get his touchdowns that way. He got it from lofting the ball in there, putting it in a tight window where nobody else could do it, 30 yards out and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Ray Allen's a good one. How about Matt Ryan? Who you got for Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan would kind of, I guess, would be more or less like John Stark, you know? Never won the big one. Solid player all around, you know? Mm.
Starks. Man, dude, those were some battles back in the day, right? He had no fear in some players, too. He had the attitude. I'll tell you that was for sure. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for listening.
No problem.
800-998-1003. Quick break. I don't even know where this hour went, Jordan the intern. You're stumped by that. Dude, I'm telling you, again, is Tim Duncan's size the problem why you're not looking at it?
No, I don't see it.
Okay, let me ask you this question into the break. Do you think Tim Duncan is good? Because the way you're referring to him and the way you're speaking about him, you're kind of like, oh, no.
I'm just saying it's not a right comparison.
Based on?
I don't know. He's just...
Well, you can't say I don't know. If you're gonna
he shoots mid-range and, you know, Drew Brees
he can do everything. Tim Duncan is... His nickname is the big fundamental.
Well, if we were just talking Close your eyes right now.
Who's the most fundamentally sound quarterback in the NFL using the most that he can out of his ability? It's got to be Drew Brees. It's not even close. It's not even close. Brees uses everything. Guy knows every which way. Practices every route, every drop back in practice, and just it's Brees. He is the fundamental.
It's not Tim Duncan.
Sports Hangover wraps it up next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp report is sponsored by Habana Port Cigar Merchants, with locations in Metairie and Baton Rouge. Browse their large selection of premium cigars, accessories, and gift items, and visit them online at HabanaPort.com.
With the start of training camp week comes more talk of expectations. The Saints 11-5 season from a year ago has many NFL analysts predicting the Black and Gold will be one of the teams contending in a loaded NFC. And not just for a playoff spot, but perhaps more. Now, whether you use the phrase eat the cheese or drink the Kool-Aid, a challenge for the team, says head coach Sean Payton, will be handling those expectations.
You've got to pay attention to the details, and there are certain things that you approach differently with the team coming off of some success. I know that there's a hunger in everyone's mouths just from, you know, the way the season ended a year ago for all of us. So, but you got to prepare right now to improve. We're competing against each other. You know, you begin that climb, and each week is a different challenge. So hopefully, and I do think we've got outstanding leadership in the locker room, and that's necessary. You know, at some point, any good team kind of begins to lead themselves.
I'm Gus Kattengill, and for more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report has been brought to you by Habana Port Cigar Merchants, your exclusive provider of Davidoff Premium Cigars in New Orleans. Stop in at their locations in Metairie and Baton Rouge.
Cigar smoking is all about the flavor. And at Habana Port Cigar Merchants, their certified experts will recommend the perfect blend and size for your personal enjoyment. Browse their over 2,000 premium cigar brands and unique accessories. And try Habana Port's preseason football sampler pack for $19.95. That's three premium cigars for only $19.95. Habana Port Cigar Merchants in Metairie and Baton Rouge. Learn more at HabanaPort.com. An exclusive appointed merchant of Davidoff. HabanaPort.com.
When you need them, your local volunteer fire department routinely answers the call. Whether it be a fire, traffic accident, or a cat stuck in a tree, there is always someone there for you. However, because of declines in memberships, departments are becoming understaffed and struggling. Here's how you can help your neighbors and your community. No matter what skills you may possess, you can make a difference. Your local volunteer fire department desperately needs your help. Can you direct traffic? Install a smoke alarm. Help at fundraisers. Your community needs you. You don't have to fight fire to be a volunteer. Will you make that difference? Will you answer the call? Brought to you by the National Volunteer Firefighter Recruitment Center, a program service of the Volunteer Firefighter Alliance. For more information on how you can help and make a difference, visit www.nvfrc.org. That's www.nvfrc.org.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. We'll wrap up the show. Matter of moments. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at Barker Mitsubishi over in Houma. Coach Tim Rebo will join us. The Colonel football team, the preview, and talk a little bit about his team in the upcoming season, 12-15. And maybe he will enjoy a little of the jambalaya from Jambalaya Shop. Stop on by. We'll have some jambalaya. Why are you frowning? I'm not going to give him your share. Although if he asks, you have to give it to him.
No one's going to get their share because fine. You're going to eat it all.
That's not true. I will take my share out first. So whatever is being shown and what's visible is available for consumption. But there is a handling fee. And like when you go to the movies or go to a concert, right? You got the, what is it, Joey? You got the printer charge, the handling fee. I love the handling fee and the print tax charge. When it's literally digital now. What's there being handled when it's being sent to your phone? Where's the handling in that? But yes, Jordan, tomorrow from the Jambalaya Shop to Barker Mitsubishi, there will be a handling fee.
Prep charges.
A prep charge, handling fee, carry fee. I mean, I'm promising there'll be some jambalaya. I just don't know how much. It's good.
If at all any.
No, it will be. Don't you sound so despondent. Well, what are you showing me?
All right. Let's do the last two quotes.
Last one. Go.
All right. It looks like he's getting better. The burden is on him. He carries that team. This is any quarterback. But well,
it looks
any
like
current.
It looks like he's getting better. He carries the burden of that team?
Yeah. The burden is on him. He carries that team.
This is any quarterback.
Any.
Tom Brady.
Ooh.
Because I honestly, especially, I mean, like, who are the receivers, the running? Yeah, I think it's Tom Brady, absolutely.
You're correct.
Okay, give me
all right, last one.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has the quickest release and livest ball in the league across every throw type imaginable.
Callahan. Quickest release. Is it Aaron Rodgers?
Joey.
Really?
Yeah, he got okay. It. Good job, Joey.
He's good. Even though Jordan the intern thinks he's terrible.
I never said he was terrible. I'm just saying he's not as good as Drew Brees.
You still have the stats, don't you?
They're in my notepad.
You see? Yeah, exactly. Discount double check. Give me one more. You got one more?
I could get a quick one real quick.
You get a quick one?
Yeah, I could get a
quick one. That's really nice of you to be able to do that.
So let me pull it up right here.
Mm-hmm. Give you one more. Final quote.
Oh, you want to
get from
that
an ESPN
one?
Analyst. Go. It doesn't matter if you think I get it. Just say it. What do you got? Come on.
All right. Everybody is making him out to be the next Roger.
Roger. You don't know Roger Staubach. You don't
Roger Staubach.
You didn't know how to pronounce his last. You didn't know how to pronounce his last name.
Staub.
Oh my.
Well, is he something from Star Wars? Let's wait and see.
Oh my.
Quarterback is one position where it is a lot easier to get worse than it is to get better.
The next Roger Star Dak Prescott.
No.
See what I just did? The Twitter handler. Who is it?
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we have time for one more.
No, we don't. You need to go Google Roger Staubach. You know who he is. Wow. Tomorrow, Barca Mitsubishi, Coach Tim. Yeah, type in Navy. Dallas Cowboys. Go ahead.
You're making me feel bad now.
Jeez, Pete. We'll be there tomorrow, Barca Mitsubishi. Stop by over and home. We'll have jambalaya from the jambalaya shop, and you can make fun of Jordan the intern as well. And we'll have fun. Matt Muscunin, after further review, is up next. You've been listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Harley-Davidson is celebrating its 150th anniversary, and New Orleans Harley-Davidson wants you to celebrate with them. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill of The Sports Hangover, reminding you to stop in at New Orleans Harley-Davidson by the end of the month. Why? Well, through the end of the month, New Orleans Harley-Davidson is having a drawing for a getaway to the 150th anniversary in Milwaukee. It's a monster celebration of Harleys in the homeland with hundreds of thousands of riders. The winner gets two nights in the Schuster Mansion, two wristbands for the week's event, and two passes to a guided tour of the Harley-Davidson factory. There's museum access, flat truck races, beach races, daily concerts, plus all kinds of incredible activities. And if you ride, you'll also have two passes to ride in the anniversary parade. So if you spend $50 or more in the store on Airline Highway, you are entered to win. So stop by New Orleans Harley-Davidson by the end of the month and get entered for your chance to celebrate Harley-Davidson's 150th anniversary.